Good morning, Portland. It is 9:59. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts your daily show, Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, we have Flashpoints with David Bernstein, your daily news magazine. And at 11, on stage and studio, Dime Roberts presents Literary Lesbians Love, a somewhat romantic book fair. Plus, actor James Dixon talks about his new role in the classic play Dutchman by Amiri Baraka. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus, an interview with comic book writer, filmmaker, and journalist David Walker about the Portland Black Film Festival and the Cascade Festival of African Films. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, your community radio station. My name is Tave Fache-Drake, and I'd like to say thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. And after these messages, we will have Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of The Brainwashing of My Dad, examining the influence of right-wing media on individuals and the nation. The screening takes place on Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jen Senko, who will be present at the screening, tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry, right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves, and what responsibility does the government have to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth? Again, The Brainwashing of My Dad, Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Climate Change, Under the Hood and in the Headlights, a public lecture by Lathan Sack on Sunday, February 12th at 1 p.m. at Subud Center in Portland. This lecture will help improve the understanding of climate change, including tips on how to place climate-related news in context, and reviewing the historic, scientific, technological, and political issues that complicate global action. Again, that's Climate Change, Under the Hood and in the Headlights, a public lecture by Lathan Stack on Sunday, February 12th at 1 p.m. at Subub Center, 3185 Northeast Regions Drive in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio, and or Cascadia, alternative radio for the alt normal, hiding in plain earshot at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Do you call the shots based on data? That's what I thought. So Trump calling the shots. We got nothing to fear, but well, there's a long list of things that we've got to fear. That's generated by Steve Bannon, Mr. Fear himself. And, of course, money is flowing in from the 1%. And that's what, as we said yesterday, and it bears repeating today, money flowing in from that 1% got us into this mess, and money flowing for the rest of us is going to get us out. Membership drive is right around the corner. It's the only time of year when you can rub your dollars up against that radio and watch what comes out. Anytime is a good time to support KBOO, as you know. The thing is, though, that membership drive is more fun. It's the most fun that you can have giving your money away. Think about it. All those times that you've called in the past to renew your membership, you completely forgot about your membership. You decide to give your cat a membership, then remember that your cat already has a membership. So you thought you might send Steve Bannon a KBOO membership. Or perhaps, the list goes on. Betsy DeVos would be a great recipient of a KBOO membership. Think about that. Wow, Betsy would be thrilled to find out that she was a member of one of the most progressive, literate, informed, well-educated stations in the whole country. But until then, we've got Nick Haney holding with Nick Haney, of course, with Cascadia Wildlands, with news on the Elliott State Forest. And before that, though, we want to dip our toes into a little local weather. Chance of rain in the show. And how? Yes, indeed, it was snowing as I drove in this morning. Chance of rain, cloudy, highs around 40. Light northeast winds, and tonight rain is likely. And we are looking at a low around 35. And wind, not worth mentioning really. For tomorrow, rain continuing, and it could be hard at times. Highs near 41. For tomorrow night, heavy rain, lows around 41, and light east wind. You won't notice the east wind because you'll be pounded by the rainfall that is in fact expected. Lots of news from around the country. The headline for right now is that Betsy DeVos was in fact confirmed, and the vote was 50-51, and you can kiss off American public schools. One of perhaps America's greatest possible achievements was the public school system, where people of all from all backgrounds, all races, all sorts of languages, different points of view and religions, came together in one room and got to know each other. Nothing like that exists anywhere else, really. Take a look around. We have a very, very diverse population, and the American public schools took children at an early age and tossed them together and let them learn on their own how to get along. This is an incredible achievement, and you can kiss it off, possibly. Betsy DeVos is a new, Secretary of Education. We're not a month into this presidency, and all of the positive accomplishments of the United States of America, all of that is drifting off into the distance and soon over the horizon. That said, the Trump team, it turns out, has ties to this Atlantic Coast pipeline. What pipeline do they not have ties to? On January 25th, Trump's team listed the Atlantic Coast pipeline among the White House's top priorities for infrastructure projects. When Trump said infrastructure, everybody said, hurrah for infrastructure. The bridges are falling down. The roads aren't safe to travel on. And public buildings, like public school buildings, just for example, are also collapsing. So what actually Donald Trump means by infrastructure are all the various pipeline projects across the country. Yeah, just to clarify that. Trump's ongoing war against the media escalates. He suggested that the press was maliciously covering up terrorist attacks in foreign countries to make him look bad. No kidding. Read the tweets. It's horrific, the ignorance. The ignorance is just absolutely monumental. And we've got a few more headlines. Our own Citizen Review Committee has some recommendations. Portland Cop Watch has all of that on their website. And it's worth going through that with a fine-tooth comb, because that is exactly where you meet up with the civic structures as they exist in Portland, is face-to-face with a cop wearing one of those riot shields things across the face. And a Cow Creek Indian Tribe partnership created for the sole proposal to buy 82,500 acres of the Elliott State Forest is being questioned. The Cow Creek Band is a part of the Umpqua Tribe, and they've teamed up with Lone Rock Timber Management Company. Nick Cady, good morning and welcome to the KBOO Airwaves again. We're so pleased to have you aboard this morning. So what is this partnership, what does this mean, and what do they propose to do to the Elliott State Forest?
So yeah, back late last year, we received a proposal, the only proposal on the purchase to buy the Elliott State Forest. And it's encouraging that there was only one, despite a lot of groups putting in interest. And I think that was because of a lot of the pressure that groups kind of exerted to keep this land public and not privatize it. But we did get a proposal from Lone Rock Timber and the Cow Creek Band that involved several other players as well. But basically, Lone Rock Timber Company out of Seattle is offered to put up $200 million, and they took $20 million from the Cow Creek Tribe for a small share of the interest in just purchasing this land outright and privatizing it. And this is something that Governor Brown eventually came out with and did not accept the deal and offered up $100 million in public funding to help find another solution. So that's what conservation groups and a number of other parties are kind of looking at, to find a new alternative for the Elliott State Forest that does not involve privatization. And we have now $100 million in state bonding money that we could potentially use in crafting this proposal.
So what was putting this deal together, bringing in the Cow Creek Tribe, all of the structure of the whole deal is so specious. Is that supposed to mean First Nations have a stake in this, or that this somehow is the imprimatur of righteousness? Or what's the point of this?
Well, I think the Cow Creek Tribe is interested because numerous tribes in Oregon have not received any sort of treaty land or lands that they were promised, and only a select few tribes do have land in Oregon. So that's still kind of an ongoing issue of historical importance to many of these tribes. And so I think the Cow Creek are simply capitalizing on an offer to acquire some of their own tribal lands. The fact that they have to pay for it is a little disappointing.
Oh, so why would they have to pay for it? Yeah.
Well, they put up $20 million for in this proposal to purchase some of the Lone Rock or some of the Elliott State Forest as their own.
And at the same time, so they're fine with it, that this is okay to log this land. If it's precious to the Cow Creek people, then it must be precious to them for some reason other than the value of the timber. The trees must be worth more standing than on a freighter heading for But Japan, for example, they're fine. In other words, have you spoken to any leaders of the concrete men? Because I tried to call, and I didn't get anybody. I just wanted to know what the intent was. Is this leverage to protect the forest, or?
I think so Cascadia Wildlands and a number of other conservation groups and kind of actors in this process have been in communication with not only Cow Creek Tribe, but a number of other tribes as well. And I think the Cow Creek's interest in the Lone Rock proposal was primarily financial. They were looking to buy forest that they could log for money for their tribe. It was an investment, a financial investment. We are hoping to craft something with them that is more than that. And like you said, values some of these forests for some of the older forest characteristics and kind of can wed a lot of these values together as opposed to just being a financial kind of swipe from the people of Oregon who own this land currently.
Yeah, it does. It seems if it's, they would have, the concrete people would have a stake in it anyway. Of course, it's their land. All the land is their land, is the First Nations land. But to spend that much money on what they consider to be an investment. It looks like they're going to get taken one way or another by this timber company. And in the end, the people of Oregon will be losers. And this is a local company, this Lone Rock?
Lone Rock, their financial resources are all coming from Seattle.
Yeah, that's what I thought, I see here. Okay, this is... this is just so depressing. It's so hard to know what to think of it. Just before we go, we're just about to go over time, actually. Do you want to let listeners know where they can find out more about this puzzling development?
Yeah, there's lots of present developments. You can go to our website at www.cascwild.org. Cascadia Wildlands.
Thank you so much. Well, we're very glad to have you on the show today. And again, call the governor, call elected representatives, make some phone calls. This is like in amongst a year of absolutely not,